We're going to turn, please, in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. I thought it was interesting, that final verse. It says, think once again. That's my desire, is to stop and make you think. To cause you to think. To think along spiritual lines. So we're going to turn Matthew chapter 13. We'll commence reading at the verse 24. Let's hear the word of God, please. Here's Jesus speaking, and he says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We'll jump a few verses down to the verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. Let's just still our hearts. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to seek thy face. Lord, we come before thee in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we need thy aid, we need thy help. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst gird up the loins of our minds. Help us, Lord, to think along the lines of thy word. Lord, we pray that thy spirit would come and reveal thy word to our hearts. Realize, Lord, that thou just hast revealed thyself to us. Oh Lord, we realize that natural man has a natural religion. Lord, he can never come to a clear view of God, for his thinking is distorted. We pray, Lord, that thy spirit would come and reveal thy truth. Reveal the word of God. Reveal Jesus Christ to darkened hearts, we pray. And Lord, we pray that each one of us that love thy name, we pray, Lord, that we'll have a concern for souls, to sow the seed, to tell others of Jesus, the mighty to save, ere it be too late. Bless our coming together this evening. Bless in the moments that remain. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen. This evening we want to consider and pursue this theme of the harvest. Every year there is a harvest, as God promised Noah. And we've mentioned it before. God, when Noah came out of the ark, God made a promise. He gave his word. And you know what? God can be trusted. God is a God that cannot lie. His word can be relied upon. You know, we can have faithful friends, and yet sometimes they can let us down. They disappoint us. They give their word to say they'll do something, and something else comes up that stops them from keeping their word. And yet here's God's word, and it is true. It can be relied upon. And God told Noah there'll be seed time and harvest. And this year again, God has been true to his word. We see the evidence of the harvest around us.
And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ used the time of harvest to teach great spiritual truths. He sought to illuminate the minds of the people of one final harvest at the end of the world. Have you ever thought, have you ever contemplated the end of the world? That God one day is going to roll up the heavens like a scroll. The world's going to come to an end. Jesus Christ is going to return. Have you ever thought how close it might be? Isn't it sobering to think if the end of the world wasn't that far away, would you live your life any differently? What would occupy your mind if you thought the end of the world wasn't that far away? The end of the world, the subject, eschatology. There's many has their viewpoints on it, and I'm not going to here to bring eschatology towards you tonight. But I just want you to stop here and think. Bear with me a few minutes as I'm going to quote someone, probably not that popular, but I want you to think in the words that he said. Pope Francis, at his inauguration, said, "My brother cardinals went almost to the end of the world to get me." And then he said, "And here we are." Now, I like to examine, I like to parse what people have to say, to see what they mean. I have to say, the new Pope is a Jesuit. Now, the devil's the most subtlest beast in the field. But could I say, next to him comes the Jesuit. And he said, "My brother cardinals went almost to the end of the world." Now I asked you, as we parse those words, what do you think he meant? Because he come from Argentina, it's the end of the world? Or could it be we're almost at the end of the world in time? And you might raise an objection, and I know there's probably some who will. I'm not going to be dogmatic. Some will say, but only God knows when the end is. And I would totally agree with you. That's not what he said. He said we're almost at the end of the world. Did you know what? Satan knows when it's almost near the end. He knows when it's, and his time is short. Could it be that we're almost at the end of the world? I'm not going to say definitely. Do you know what? It causes us to think when we would thought, the thought would be that the end of the world is nigh. Now, I know we're living in the last days. And the last days began when Jesus Christ came to this earth. We're living in the last days. Could it be that we're living in the last of the last days? Does it cause us to think? Here the Lord Jesus Christ warns and tells a parable about the end of the world. And he uses the time of harvest. And this evening, just for a few minutes, I want to consider the final harvest that is coming. Maybe the end of the world is far off. But you know what? For each one of us, there'll be a final harvest. The narrative told. The Lord Jesus Christ, what does he use? He uses a parable. And what is a parable? It's an earthly story. A story that people relate to. People can understand. They can grasp it with their minds. But you know what? Laying behind it is deep spiritual truths. And the Lord Jesus Christ uses this time of harvest to teach deep spiritual truths. To teach that the end of the world will come. That there'll be a harvest. Some will be reaped and forever, life everlasting, and yet there'll be others that will be lost forever. And here Christ, in his introduction to this parable, he says in the verse 24, another parable put he forth, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto." And there's the simile. There's the parallel that the Lord Jesus Christ seeks to bring to the minds of the people. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And here's his parable. And he uses this story to teach deep spiritual truths. And he uses the time of harvest. I have no doubt that those people that stood there that day were familiar. They knew exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. They had seen it day after day. And here he relates the story of a farmer. Look what he has. He has a field. And what's he begin to do? He sows good seed in the field. Here's a diligent farmer. He takes his seed and he goes out. There's been labour in the ground. He's prepared the ground. He sowed the seed. He's a diligent man. He doesn't do things by half. And here his desire is to sow seed. What for? That he might have a harvest. That he might have produce gathered in to his garner to store up and have for himself. Seed. It's the idea of a new race. I wonder this evening, are you that new race in Christ Jesus? Are you that good seed? Or could you be described as that bad seed? And then he goes on to say he sows it. But while men were sleeping, can you imagine it? The idea here, men sleeping. But you know this word sleeping, it can mean sleeping. Can reference to natural sleep. Do you know what else it means? Yielding to sloth and sin. Do you know what we get a picture of here? I believe we get a picture of Adam, the first man, and how God created him in his pristine condition, without sin. Do you know what he done? While he slept. What does the idea here? He yielded to sloth and sin. Who came in the scene? An enemy of souls, Satan. What for? To sow bad seed. And what did he sow in the human race? He sowed sin. Do you know what? We fell with Adam. Adam was our representative. People say, well, why should I be a sinner because of Adam? Do you know what? He's our representative. You see, if you had been there in the Garden of Eden, you would have fared no better. You would have fell also. And sin permeated the human race. And all are fallen in Adam. And here we get a picture of them. Growing together. See, God has a people for himself. And here in the word, the two of them grow together. But there's something else I want to notice is, the enemy came and sowed tares. The word is denil. It's a tear. It's a corrupt seed. Do you know the thing about it? When the two of them are growing, you can't tell them apart. You can't tell the wheat from the denil. As they grow up, there's nothing to distinguish between them. It's only when the fruit or the ears appear that it is possible to tell the difference between the good seed and the bad seed. It's only whenever the ears appear that you can go and examine it and say, oh, there's the difference. There's wheat and there's the fruit of the tares. There's something else about denil. Wheat feeds the soul, but denil seeds are poisonous. They kill. They destroy. And what happens? The servants look out and they're astonished. But we thought our master sowed good seed. And we look and see what has happened. What has happened? Why has there been a difference? And the master knows exactly what has happened. An enemy. Someone who has hated him has come and sown the tares amongst the good seed. And the servants, they're concerned. They think, well, can we not go and pull up these tares and let the wheat grow and let it prosper? And the master says, no. Just let them grow together. Just let them grow together. Wait to harvest. And then there'll be a great separation. For I'm going to instruct my reapers to go and take the tares first. Take the tares, bind them in bundles. See, they can tell the difference now. They can cut them at the bottom of the stalk, gather them in bundles, and then burn them. And at harvest time in Israel, all the rubbish was burned. And what a picture if you'd been in the Orient in Bible times. The smell of smoke and pollution, as maybe many would call it today. Why, as the rubbish was burned up and destroyed. And here's this picture of harvest. And he sets this, the Lord Jesus Christ sets this picture of harvest time before them. You know, everyone there would have understood that story. They could know of a man sowing good seed. They could think of an enemy coming and throwing in tares and destroying it, as if to destroy his harvest. There was no one there, I'm sure, that day who didn't understand this story. But look at this, the disciples. Declare unto us the parable of the tares. There's a thirsting in their soul to see, what does this actually mean? Do you know what? Christianity is a revealed religion. And Jesus Christ reveals the truth of this story to his disciples' heart. And do you know what men and women need today? They need the Spirit of God to come and reveal the truth of Jesus Christ to their souls. You see, you can hear the story of Jesus Christ. Just like these people heard this parable about the tares. And they would go away thinking, well, that was bad for that enemy to do that. And never grasp its truth. And you might hear of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, the gospel. And yet, you'll leave and think nothing of Jesus. You know what? You need the Spirit of God to reveal the truth to your hearts. And here's the spiritual truth that unfolded. Jesus Christ, he sits down with his disciples to declare to them the actual meaning of this parable. He spoke to them and revealed it to them. You know what? Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, he reveals his truth to his people. And here he takes his disciples aside and he starts to explain to them. He tries to, seeks to cause them to understand what this parable's all about. I wonder, do you think this gospel's just another story? Or has it any meaning whatsoever to you? In your sin, you think, well, I'll carry on in my sin. I don't need Jesus Christ. And sadly, they lost forever. And here we get a picture now, and here's the Saviour starts to explain. He says, he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Here's a reference to Jesus Christ. Here's a reference to the gospel. Here's what produces good seed in the heart of man. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was the Old Testament all about? The sacrifices, the ceremonies. What was it all about? It was to teach of Jesus Christ, of his incarnation, his coming, his sacrifice in the cross. You know what? I'm sure there were many a Jew went every day to their sacrifices. And that was what their religion contained. They didn't see Christ in it. They didn't see their need of salvation. And yet, you know what Jews realized when they saw the ceremonial law, when the lamb was slain? They said, that should have been me. I deserve to die. And yet the Lamb died in my place. Do you know what it taught them? Substitution. A looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. The good seed is the gospel. It's all of Jesus Christ. And he says then here, the field. What is it? It's the world. Now we can think of the world and we think of the earth that hangs in space and we that live on it. But you see this word world? The word world, it means the mass of humanity. See the mass of humanity from Adam right up to now. There are those that are tares, bad seed. And there's those that are good seed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Both of them grow together. Isn't this world full of saints and sinners? Those who are the Lord's and those who aren't. And here we get a picture of the world, the good seed. And who sowed the evil seed? Satan. What did he do in the Garden of Eden? He caused humanity to fall. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what we need? What does man's heart need? It needs to be changed. It needs to hear the gospel. It needs to be produce good seed. What kind of seed are we producing? How would we describe ourselves? Are we that good seed after God? Or are we still in our sin, chasing after the works of the flesh, at enmity against God? See what this word, there's only two types of people. Oh, I know we think of different races, different colours, different religions. But in reality, there's only two types of people. Wheat and tares. And this evening, what are you? Could you say, I'm wheat because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Spirit of God in my heart? Or am I a tare? And here we see the picture of the two growing together. And then the Son of Man says here, the harvest. And here we come to the harvest. And we're at the harvest tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ says there's going to be a final harvest. Look what he says there. About the harvest is the end of the world. The end of the world is coming. And then God says, I'm going to send my reapers. Now, what do we call death? We often refer to death as a grim reaper. And here we see the end of the world and the reaper coming to separate the wheat from the tares. At the end of the world. And what does he say here? At the end of the world, the tares will be gathered and they'll be burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of the world. You know what? When Jesus Christ comes at the end of the world, there's a resurrection. There'll be those resurrected to everlasting life. And there'll be those that will be resurrected to everlasting punishment. So shall it be in the end of the world. They'll be burned in fire. Here's what the Saviour taught. The Lord Jesus Christ taught this truth. A place, a literal place, called hell. Oh, we live in a day and people want to deceive themselves and say, oh no, there's no hell. See what the Lord Jesus Christ taught here. And this is what he's saying. Look at that, verse 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Think of it for a minute. Those tares will be gathered up and burned. He's using the symbol of the harvest to teach a spiritual truth. But there'll be others gathered in. Verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. See that word righteous? We're not righteous in our own. That idea of righteous is declared righteous. And how is a man, a woman, a boy or a girl declared righteous? By faith in Jesus Christ. We stand righteous in God's sight because of his righteousness. How is it imputed to his people? By faith. Are you trusting Jesus Christ this evening? Are you ready for the harvest at the end of the world? Are you wheat or are you tares? And here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes something as simple as the harvest to teach deep spiritual truths. I want you this evening to pause and think of the harvest. Yes, this harvest, but a greater harvest at the end of the world. For where will you be in eternity? Wheat. Shining forth as the sun in the kingdom with the Father, praising God, or suffering the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, the punishment for sin. What was it? We're told in Romans, the wages of sin is death, eternal death. Oh, people want to say, oh no, that's a fairy story. Could I tell you tonight in the authority of God's word, here is the truth. God has revealed it. God doesn't and cannot lie. You be thankful that you have heard the truth. But oh, to know the truth and to reject it. And to be lost forever and to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, that you would be wise. That you would consider your latter end. That you would be caused to look to Jesus Christ. And that you might find life. Life everlasting. And peace with God. And that when the end of the world comes, or maybe your last harvest is over, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. May we learn these truths of the harvest, that we'll be caused to pause and think. Think about your spiritual destiny. Amen.